you, brother. Good evening. Thank you, praise team. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's important to know and understand who you are in Christ. Not who you are by yourself, but who you are in Him and who He has made you to be. You can do all things through Him who strengthens you with divine ability. You are partakers of the divine nature on the inside of you. You are a new species of being. If any man be in Christ, let him become a new creation, because he is a new creature. Amen. Well, God has good things to share tonight. Have a little echo up here. Thank you. We are talking about expecting God's glory tonight. Amen. Expecting God's glory. What should your mindset be when you have gone through a tragedy? When you have seemingly lost out? Things have not gone the way you expected. Things have not worked out the way you were believing. What you thought was going to come to pass, and more importantly, how you thought it was going to come to pass, didn't come to pass the way you thought it was. Maybe it was the 35th of the month, and your mindset is, God, you have to do something, or the lights will be turned off. And more days pass, and the lights get turned off. Not quite what I was expecting here. Things are not going well on the job. And you say, God, you have to do something here. And the next thing that happens is you're packing a box and walking out the door. You have been let go, terminated, fired, whatever word you want to use. You are no longer there. You've been canned. A loved one passed away, and it is not what you were expecting, not what you had in your spirit, not what you saw taking place, and yet they're gone. What should our mindset be when we're now at the moment of tragedy, where the mortgage has been late for 3 months, and you come home and there is an eviction notice on the door saying you have 24 hours to clear out? Not only is the mortgage now late, you've been kicked out of your house. You are out. Done. Over. Seemingly. What should your mindset be when you appear to have lost? It appears like I lost this battle. It appears like I lost here. what should my mindset be? What should your expectation be? And I'm telling you tonight, you should be expecting to see God's glory. You should be expecting to see God's goodness. You should be expecting to see God's glory. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was what? He was sick. So the sisters sent word to the Lord. God, I need you. This is going on, and I need you. They sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love. Well, if this sickness is in my body, apparently God doesn't love me. If he loved me, he would have kept this sickness from even knocking at my door. But it says, the one whom you love is sick. We know Jesus loved him because this is John's gospel. And John thought of himself as the one whom Jesus loved. The fact that he was giving credit to someone else, the same John that highlighted that I outran Peter to the tomb. The one whom you love is sick. And Jesus loved him so much that when he heard this, he got up right away and ran to his aid. He loved him so much, he did absolutely nothing. He stayed right where he was, doing what he was doing. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. Now, most of you know the account. Lazarus dies. Lord, wait a second. You said this sickness will not end in death. Lazarus is dead. Apparently, that must not be the end. Because he said death would not be the end. This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God. God's glory is not in the sickness. So they're not seeing God's glory right now. But he says this is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. The Son of God is not glorified by the sickness. He's sick, but Jesus isn't getting any glory. He's not glorified by the sickness. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It wasn't a question of love. Do you love me? God, I don't see anything going on here. You must not care for me. You must not love me. He loved them. But there was a plan. There was a way. There was something that God had in store. The sickness wasn't God. The death wasn't God. What we're going to see that was God was the glory. I just lost my place. So, with a couple of clicks, I'm back. Gotta be careful with the fingers, these mobile devices. I accidentally called my sister-in-law when I was in the garage and my phone was in my pocket, my back pocket. And I heard these people in the background talking. And I was like, Lord, is that you? And then I heard Ken's voice in my garage. Ken, just drive up. But I'd accidentally called my sister-in-law, and they were in Corpus Christi, and Ken and Jennifer had gone down to visit them, and they were, where were y'all? You were at a gift shop. They were having fun. I was in the garage with Brianna and Catherine mitigating a fight. An argument between a four-year-old and a two-year-old. I said, y'all, I gotta go. FaceTime came up and everything. Hi, y'all. Bye, y'all. I digress. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer where he was. In the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Basically, Jesus is saying, when you're walking in God's will, nothing can harm you. I'm not worried about them stoning me because I'm walking in God's will, in God's timing, in God's season, in God's light. That's why it's important to do what God has called you to do and be where God has called you to be when he's called you to be there. And if he hasn't called you to be there, don't go. Because there's safety in walking in God's timing, his season, his will, his light for your life. Then he said, this he said, and after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now, that doesn't sound very nice. I'm glad I wasn't there. You imagine God saying, I'm glad I didn't show up on the 32nd of the month. That doesn't seem very nice. For your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. Y'all think about that when you get home. Why? Why is he glad that he was not there for their sake? So that they may believe. The darker it gets, the greater the opportunity is for you to believe. Even yet. Even still. Well, Brian, I've been kicked out of my house. That's it. Story is complete. Story is done. It's an opportunity now for you to believe. Now, what's coming next? After you lost the job, after you've been kicked out of the house, after the lights have been turned off, after you lost a loved one, what's next? God's glory is next. So that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who was called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." This is God's man of faith and power that we're dealing with. That's why Jesus said, "I was glad I was not there, so that you may believe." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. I've been out of my house for 4 days. It's been over for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, if you would have showed up on the 27th of the month, my lights wouldn't have been turned off. If you would have done something before I lost my job, I wouldn't have lost my job. Lord, if you had been here, if you would have done something, this wouldn't have happened." That is a typical mindset of many people. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Okay. You know that? Let's put that to the test. Your brother will rise again. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "I believe you're the Son of God." I didn't ask you if you believed I'm the Son of God. Well, that's all I'm able to believe right now. Because what you just said, no compute. Death is not the final frontier. Ever. Life is. Now, whether it's life in 4 days or life in 40 years, we will all rise. And this corruptible will put on incorruptible. We are looking forward to the glory of God, even now, even still. We are looking for never dying. We are looking for the glory. God says, "I'm not done until you've seen glory." And whether that's glory now or glory then, the story is no less sweeter. The glory of God will be seen. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, this runs in the family. They probably had discussed this among themselves. If Jesus had been here, we would not be in this situation right now. If he had been here, what if Jesus had told them, I could have been here 2 days earlier, but I had things to do. No, he loved them. He loved them. But in the midst of all this mess, and it is mess, and it's not of God. In the midst of all this mess, Romans says God causes all things. Another translation says that God works in the midst of all things to bring about good. God works in the midst of everything to bring about good in the midst of any and every circumstance. What should your expectation be now that it is seemingly over, now that it is seemingly done? Your expectation should be the glory of God. God's not done until I see his glory. Somehow, some way, in the midst of this situation and out of this situation, I will see God's glory. It may not be the way I think it's going to be, but for Jesus to be glorified, he's not glorified in this mess. He's glorified in what he does next. What's next for you? You lost your job. What's next? God's glory is next. You lost a loved one. What's next? God's glory is next. Maybe it's not the physical resurrection of that loved one right now, but God has something in store for you that's equal to the loss that was experienced. It's his glory in your life. It's his goodness in an arena or area of your life. Expect God's glory when things seem final, when things seem done. The lights are off. The water's off. They're no longer threatening. It's done. It's done. Now what's next? God, I'm looking for your glory now. I'm looking for your goodness. I'm looking for somehow, some way, you bring out of all this your glorious manifestation. Me being wowed by, look at God. Look at how good God is. Even though, God is not done. God has not stopped. He is still working to bring about glory in your life. Amen. To make sure that you are able to praise. And that you truly have a manifestation to praise about. It's good to praise by faith, and we should. But God's bringing something in your life that's a manifestation that you're saying, wow, God's glory, God's goodness coming to pass, even though I thought God was late, but God has something in store. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? You'll notice in the Gospels, whenever you see Jesus troubled in his spirit, it is something directly or indirectly tied to what he's about to go through. That's just a side note. You can go look it up. I'm sure you will, you Bereans. But go check it out. Anytime you see Jesus stressed or troubled in his spirit or pressured, it's because he knows what's coming. It does not say that in these verses. I will point that out. But if you look for consistency within the scripture, that is the only context you'll see where he himself is deeply, well, Brian, he was crying because they were crying. Why is he crying? He's about to raise him from the dead. He was weeping because he missed Lazarus. What? Come on now. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man also from dying? Now, Lord, you paid my bill back in 2002. You turned my kids around in 2008. You blessed me financially in 2010. The same God who did all of that, could you not have stopped this in my life? Could he have not stopped this? The answer to that question is yes. Brian, why? I don't know. Pastor Jim used to say, the hidden things belong to God. And sometimes you don't understand everything about a situation, nor do you see everything in the situation. The Bible says that we prophesy in part and we know in part. We do not know everything. Stop acting like you do. You do not know everything. You do not see everything that was going on. What we do know is a more sure word, the word of God, that God is good. God's word is true. And even after it seems done, I'm looking for his glory. Even still, I'm looking for his glory. Even still, I'm looking for his goodness. Verse 38, so Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, he was approaching the tomb. He was going to be laid in a tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Well, Lord, I wanted to see your glory before this happened. If you will believe now, you will see the glory of God in your life, no matter what has already happened. Well, Brian, what is it going to look like? How is it going to manifest? I don't know. But whatever it is, you'll be able to say, that's the glory of God. That's the goodness of God in manifestation. I didn't see this when I was going through the mess. I couldn't conceive of this happening, but what I in the natural never thought would ever happen has now come to pass. It's come out of this. It's come in the midst of this. It's come in spite of this. The glory of the Lord. He said, you will see the glory of God. What are we talking about tonight? Expecting that glory. Even after death. Even after eviction. Even after job termination. Even after whatever the situation is you're dealing with. Okay, God, it's not going to glorify you for my life to just end on this note. For my world to just be shut down on this note. That doesn't glorify you. Somehow, some way, I got to come out of this better, stronger, with more grace, with more favor, with more victory. Financial blessings, whatever it is, I'm expecting to see your glory in the midst of this situation. Did I not say that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What has the Father heard Jesus saying? He says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. What did the Father hear? What had Jesus been saying this whole time? You would see the glory. You would see the glory. You would see the glory. He was speaking the word of God. He was speaking in faith. When you speak, God's here. Father, I thank you that you heard my confession. I will see your glory. I'm in agreement with you. You have heard me, Father. God hears you speaking and agreeing with his word every single time. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. So Jesus' first statement out of the gate is, this is an opportunity for the glory of God. If you've not seen God's glory yet, know that it's not over. If you've not seen the manifestation of God's goodness yet, if you've not seen the manifestation of his glory yet, be expecting it, because it's not going to end on that note if you believe. It doesn't have to end on that note if you believe. Be looking, be anticipating God's glory. Because Jesus is not glorified in the lack. He's not glorified in the sickness. He's not glorified in the death. He's not glorified in the termination. He's not glorified in the loss of your house. He's glorified in what comes next. He's glorified in what's after that. The thing is, it's not over. The story has not been written yet. There's no period here. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, it may not come the way you think it's going to come, but it's going to come. God's glory will manifest. You will see God's glory if you believe, if you receive, if you expect it. So, what should our mindset be when it looks like it's over? Not it looks like it's going to be over. No, it looks like it is over. It is done. Now, resurrection. Now, glory. Now, goodness. Now, life. Now, God working in the midst of everything that has happened to bring about his glory. Because it does not glorify him for those things to be. That's not the glory of God. You coming out of it, that's what glorifies God. Your testimony that after that, if you would have been here, this would not have happened. What comes next? What comes after that? It's the thing that's after that that you're looking for. It's restoration. It's a ministry that you thought wasn't available. It's a house that you thought wasn't available. Maybe it's not your old house. Maybe it's a new house. Maybe it's not your old job. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's not the old whatever, but it may be a new thing that God has for you where you'll be able to say, thank you, Lord. I see your glory. In the midst of all this, I see how you worked in the middle of all that to bring about good, according to Romans 8:28. Amen? Amen. That is the message tonight. Pastor, are you coming? Yes. All right.
Some glory is on its way. Amen? Glory is on its way. Because it ain't over. We've got lots to do, and it's going to be a new thing, a new way. God has promised. And we're excited about what's happening in the body. Amen? If you're not excited, you ain't doing it right. Keith Moore said that he's always excited about something. He said if he ever gets to the point where he's not excited, he has to ask his wife, what are we excited about? Because if you ain't excited about something, he said that means you're not in faith. If you're not excited about something, you're not in faith. You're not doing it right. So let's get excited. Be looking for the glory. Looking for the glory that if you believe, you'll see it. So that's where your faith comes in, is looking, is in believing, and then you'll see it. And the excitement can be realized, I guess. What is realized excitement? I don't know. Manifestation, that's the word. That's the word. Praise God. Good word. Good word, Brother Brian. We appreciate you standing before us tonight and delivering the word of God. The good news that the glory of God is going to be seen. And we're going to see it. And it's not just a one-time thing. Glory after glory after glory. Glory upon glory. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, get your offerings and your gifts ready for, be a blessing for Brother Brian. He brought good word tonight, so he is worthy of a good gift. So the bucket is up here after we dismiss. You can put your blessings in there. Stand with us and let's just praise the Lord for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your glory revealed, your glory manifest. Father, we are excited to see your goodness. We are excited to see your hand being manifested in our lives, in every area of our lives, and in every area of this church body, Father God. The things that you have called us to and the things that you have called us to be. I thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. And now, Father, we receive the word that we have heard. We call it our life because your word is life and spirit. And it comes into our spirit and it takes root and grows in our hearts, Father, because we are good ground, because we receive the word. We receive it, Father God, and we will not let it go. We will not let it be stolen from us. We will not let it be choked out by the cares of other things that is not your glory. But Father, we choose to look to you. We look to you for wisdom, for your goodness and mercy to be revealed in your presence, Father God. We continually seek your presence because in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Well, I call you blessed. I say that the God of all peace and joy shines his face on you. He looks to you and he blesses you with his countenance. And he leads you everywhere you go with peace and joy and his favor. And you are the light of the world. And you, everywhere that you go, you dispel darkness. And the light of God shines through you. People are drawn to you like a moth to a flame, because you are the light of the world. And you are the sweet-smelling savor of God's presence everywhere you go. And in the marketplace, in the retail shops, in the job, at the restaurants and the cafes, at school, on the playground, wherever you are, wherever you go, you are blessed of the Lord to be a blessing, and you shine. You are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're weird. That just means you're set apart. You're different. And a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And you show forth the praises of our God, our Father, our King. You are blessed. Go with God. See you on Sunday.